You're on air with Douglas, where fans are connected to their favorite celebrities. And now, here's your host, Douglas.
All right, welcome back to Talk Soap on Air with Douglas, because Blog Talk Radio cut us off in the middle of our show because it was scheduled for an hour and we were Chatty Cathy's, so I couldn't create another episode at that account, so I had to come over to this account. So if you're not confused, don't worry. I'm going to be uploading this part back over to Talk Soap. So on with the show. Is everybody with me now?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. So we were just finishing up talking about, I don't even know what the hell's name is now.
Oh, Freddie Smith. I was making a beautiful comment and it cut me off.
Oh, well redo your beautiful comment about Freddie Smith.
I just wanted to say that, Freddie, if you're listening, I would be more than happy to drive you anywhere you would like to go. So I am at your service.
Oh, my. Okay, so let's get right into General Hospital. Let me just tweet out a link here, the new link, so people will know what the hell happened to him. Oh, God. See, I try to keep the show to an hour. I can never do it unless we say one thing about soap. So we'll have to talk offline how we can get this down to an hour over on Talk Soap. I just can't. I've tried with Men Who Gossip. I've tried it with Talk Soap, The Spill of Tea, all my shows. The only one I can keep under wraps is the one I do by myself, which is In Bed with Red. All right, let's, and that's just because I'm in bed with Red by myself, so, you know, it doesn't take very long, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so moving on to General Hospital, something major happened this past week that was very emotional, and that was the scenes between Franco and Kiki. For fans who don't know, Roger Haworth and Kristen Alderson came to General Hospital from One Life to Live as the crossover with John McVane as well. And then during the whole dispute about the One Life to Live characters, oh my goodness, who is making all that noise? I'm going to have to put you on.
Sorry.
Kelly, are you washing dishes?
Are you
not
doing
dishes
again?
No, I'm not doing dishes, but I will mute the phone.
If that's how your vibrator sounds, you should probably get a tore up coochie, honey, because that was some loud noise.
Oh
my God.
Happy Valentine's Day, belated.
Exactly.
I thought I was bad. I really thought I was bad. You're really not. You're late to the party, sister. They've been doing this to me for a long time. No,
they? Yeah. Oh, they?
Okay, now back to it.
Doug has been doing this. I love
back to our
I know
spirit.
I can be myself now.
Oh, definitely be yourself. Take your shirt off. Let your boobs be free. Anyway,
not.
Oh,
thank you.
Well, you can tweet me your photos later.
Okay,
but
no one was supposed to know about that. No one was supposed to know about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oops. I will put them on Tinder instead later.
Whatever.
I'll put them on Grindr. That'll really get the guys going. Okay, so
come on now.
Let's get, well, you know, I'm a boob man. It's okay. I just saw 50 Shades of Grey, so I'm ready to be tied
I'm
up and spanked with somebody's
titty.
I'm
telling you, for two gay men, you all get more excited about boobs than anybody I've ever
seen. I'm fascinated by them, but I
know, I'm just fascinated. That's it. That's all. But anyway, now we're actually turning into the Hot Topic section. Let's cover General Hospital, then we'll get right into the 50 Shades of Grey, Gay, and Bidet. So as I was saying, go backwards. This week was a very emotional episode with Kiki and Franco, because in One Life to Live, they played mother. See, you got me all frustrated. They played father and daughter, which was Todd and Star. When they first came over from One Life to Live to General Hospital, then they were those characters. And then after the whole dispute between Prospect Park and One Life to Live and everything, they had to go off the air and then come back as
same actors, but totally different names. Anyway, Kristen Alderson, who played Star and now is Kiki, she taped her last episode, and it was the other day, and the writers kind of paid homage to their previous characters with the script and the way that they were talking to one another. What did you think about that, Michael, since you watched both?
Yeah, I really liked it. And, you know, and to this day, even though I know that Kiki is going to be recast and someone else will be playing that character, it's one of the things that aggravates me. I really wanted them to make them father and daughter again. You know, at the time it seemed they didn't, because then she'd be dating her cousin and we can't have that be. So I got it. But then you went and made Franco not a Quartermain. So in the end, it didn't matter anyway. So I really wish there was a way to kind of, that we were going to find that out. And if we find it out eventually, I'll still be happy, but it just won't be the same because they had such chemistry together. And even though he wasn't her father, they still had a father-daughter relationship. And a lot of times they seemed closer than her and you know, not McBain, but, you know, his new character. So I hope that it works out, but it was a really nice, poignant scene. So I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, and I didn't watch One Life to Live. I only knew them from their time on General Hospital as the One Life to Live characters. So I was a little attached, but I wasn't very attached like the One Life to Live fans. But I was kind of emotional because I got what Ron was doing with that. And though it made sense for the GH fans, but I think, you know, the ones who knew One Life to Live and the history there, it really touched it. And Franco, you know, Franco really was different that day as well. You know, he just took that gigantic vial of LSD into him. So he's not living in those magic colors anymore. He was kind of lucid, but yet he was talking, you know, you're my daughter. And that's when I got it figured it all out. So thank you, General Hospital, for paying homage to their previous characters by sending Kristen Alderson off with a good scene. I know Kelly, you're new to the team with General Hospital in Port Charles, but what did you think about that scene now knowing a little bit of the history by what really happened?
I thought it was sweet too. I mean, I've not been a fan of Kiki just because I don't know, something about her just aggravates me. But I mean, she like those scenes, and you know, and he, oh yes, of course I remember you, and it's just like, oh look, he's actually, you know, like when I started watching, it was when like Franco had told Kiki that he knew that, you know, Carly slept with Sonny and right before their wedding and blah, 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 and all that junk. And so I knew that they were close for some reason, but I wasn't sure how. But, you know, now hearing like the backstory and all that stuff, like, you know, it was really sweet. And I thought it was good stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's not, I mean, there may have not been as much excitement this week as there was in Genoa City. Luckily, General Hospital and Young and Restless took their separate weeks to do their major story. We knew, you know, last week when we talked, we had just finished up that long, like nonstop back-to-back action week in General Hospital. And this week we got the Young and Restless back-to-back February sweeps stuff going on. So this week wasn't as intense, but now after speculation about Luke, Fluke, Faison, who the hell is Anthony Geary playing? Now we come to find out that after the MRIs, that we really know now that Luke is Luke, and Jason, or Jake, aka Jason, is really got the thing inside of his head that has been, you know, being ordered around as a, you know, a killing machine from Helena. And I didn't realize it because I didn't watch the show before, but apparently she did the same thing to Lucky, which is Lulu's brother for you, Kelly, in case you didn't know. So Helena's done this before, and I'll ask Michael about that in a second. So Luke is Luke, and he, now the fans have kind of figured out that he's probably going to have the same thing that Kate and Connie had, which was DID, the dissociative identity disorder, because it kind of, they tricked us for a long time. They really did, at least for me, because, you know, we saw scenes down in the basement
and the other place that they were that Luke had Fluke had Luke held at, that he was talking to himself. So we thought there was two people. Now we've come to find out that this is probably him talking to himself. And then when we saw the dead Beetlejuice body that I called last week, there was that body there. Well, we found out that Bill Eckert's grave was dug up, and everybody was supposed to believe that that body that was in the basement was really Luke's, not Fluke's. So now it's all making sense that that was really Bill Eckert's body that was in the chair with the bomb, and that Luke has really just been out of in a different identity. Now, this is just my opinion, and I'll ask both of yours in a minute. So I think Tony Geary has done a phenomenal job. I mean, this is I've only been watching for 2.5 years or so, but this is really, I mean, he's really going there, because the writers had took us on a wild ride for the last year thinking all this. So he declares to Bobby, you know, that he wanted power, and he wanted to take away Sonny's his power, and, you know, be the leader. And it just was all weird. It was just, I mean, for me, from what I've seen in the last 2 years, it just did not sound like Luke. And the way he treated his daughter, and the way that he was going to blow up that boat with all those people on it, it was just really out of realm for what I've seen of Luke in the last couple of years. So that happened, and then he finally cracked yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And he was like, where am I? Oh, my God. What am I doing here? Somebody help me. And that's why I think that this is what they're doing. It seems like, you know, Ron and the gang likes to do DID stories, apparently, because they just did it. And somebody also told me that they did it on the other ABC shows with like 3 or 4 different people. So it seems like we're going to be doing that again with Tony. So what are your thoughts about that, Mr. Michael?
You know, I think this is a perfect example of what I like about the show. I don't criticize much. You know, I enjoy the ride. Frank and Ron, whatever vision they have, even if it's not what I expect or even what I want, I still always enjoy it. And I still mm-hmm. get something out of it that I didn't expect. I didn't want to see another DID storyline after Kate and Connie. I know that their characters are not real people, but I thought she did a phenomenal job with it, and I didn't really want to see anyone else do it. And so I was hoping we weren't headed this way. But the fact that we are, oh my goodness, some great scenes. There's going to be a lot of good stuff that comes from this. I want to know, why the hell did Luke dig up Bill Eckert's body? You know, like on the show, Bill Eckert just kind of came in and be like, hi, everybody, I'm Luke Spencer's cousin. We never heard about him before. We didn't know anything about him. Clearly, there must have been something tied to Luke's past for him to mm-hmm. connect and want to dig him up. So, I mean, that's a whole bunch of story that I don't even know what's going to happen. So I'm excited for that. And I did wonder, you know, Luke's been on the show since, I don't know, like 78 or 79, so quite a while. So at first, my hesitancy was, why now? Why now would you kind of crack and have this, you know, this split mm-hmm. personality? But we never really went into Luke's childhood a whole lot. We knew that it was bad. We knew that he and Bobby survived a lot, but we didn't know much more than that, mm-hmm. unless anyone else can fill that in, because I didn't watch consistently through the years. So clearly something happened, and it's going to work out. So I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. And it answers the question we all talked, I think, last week, that you know, who are the two Lukes? You know, like when Luke was in Miscavige, you know, the bad Luke came to, you know, Fluke came to visit him. But we saw in that scene where Luke thought he was seeing, you know, Fluke, it was really just the officer. So that whole scene we saw last year could have just been, was clearly a figment of his imagination. So it answers a lot mm-hmm. of questions. I still want to see how Sister Patricia fits into this. I think that's who Bobby referenced, the one person who might know. So we'll mm-hmm. see.
Okay.
Oh, one other thing.
Go ahead.
With One Life to Live, the DID storyline, that actually went back to the beginning of the show when it started in 68. The main character, Vicky, that was her, I don't want to say claim to fame, but so mm-hmm. the DID was always prevalent on One Life before Frank and Ron took over. Ron. But so they just kind of took it and kind of like kept with that heritage of the show in that way. And they kind of did make it their thing. So I know they'll do a good job.
Yeah, they did a great job with Kate and Connie, and it's all about how the actor or actress can pull it off. And Kelly Sullivan, who's now on Young and Restless with Sage, was Kate and Connie and did a fantastic job. When I first started, that's what storyline was really at the forefront of the show. And I think that's when I fell in love with Kelly Sullivan. She did a great job. And Tony, I mean, hello, he's daytime royalty, so he'll mm-hmm. be able to play. He's already he's already fooled us for a year without us even knowing. So I think that's fantastic. Kelly, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, like, I love it because, I mean, like, you all know as well as I do, a lot of times we sit here and we speculate and we're like, you know, we know exactly what's going on and we can, you know, we could write this show and we know, you know, we have a general idea of what's going to happen. But I have thought everybody under the sun was fake Luke. And not until today when I watched the episode where Bobby was yelling at him and he finally mm-hmm. snuck out of it and came back to, you know, like, I guess, regular Luke. Like that, it for me, like Michael and I had talked about that before and he, you know, he told me that's what he thought. And I was like, that's going to blow my mind if that's actually what happened. And then to, you know, mm-hmm. like watching it today, like it confirmed it. And I was like, holy crap. Like it's the first time in a very long time that, you know, that a soap opera has blown my mind. But
yeah.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. Now we're going to go back to Valentine's Day for a second because something happened for us gays on Friday's episode that was fantastic. It was beautiful, and I had tears in my eyes. We have been seeing the progression over the last year and some change. I think it was last year at this time when Lucas rejoined the show, played by Ryan Carnes. And he got involved with Felix, and then he got involved with Brad, and then they were going to do a triangle type thing. And now he's just, you know, Brad had confessed his love for Lucas, and they have been showing, you know, like we talked about before, they had some sex scenes, and not really revealing, but it was alluded to and very sexy and stuff. And then, but Lucas was kind of standoffish. He was just like, how do I react to this? You know, so he talks to Julian, which I thought was a great scene between him and Julian, Lucas and Julian, who's Julian is his father. And then it was like he just went into Leonardo DiCaprio's Titanic, I'm the King of the World mode, and he jumped up on the counter at General Hospital, and he said, I love this man, Brad. I love this man, and I love you. And I was just like, oh my God, that is so romantic. I want to go to the hospital and have someone say that to me up there. And but I thought it was very beautiful, and I'm glad that Ron and then has been brave enough to take on, you know, an LGBT storyline, unlike CBS, if you're listening. But NBC has done it and has continued to do it, and ABC has continued to do a great job. I do want more. We don't need to see sex scenes, which is nice, but I would like to see some more development. Now with Days of Our Lives, when Will first came out and then Sunny, you know, it took a long time. You know, Courtney, I'm sure you've watched, you know, I don't know how long you watched, but the progression of from Will mm-hmm. knowing and then coming out and then getting involved with Sunny and then Paul coming into the picture. I mean, it took forever. So I'm hoping with GH that they, you know, it's been a long time actually too. I mean, it's been a year, you know, up until he finally confessed his love for Brad and Brad to him. So I'm hoping that they get into something. I'm not ready for the whole cheating storyline or anything like that. I don't want that. I don't like to see that gays just sleep around, you know. I don't like that because everybody sleeps around. It's not just a gay thing. So there's other things that people can do as writers for our community. So I'd like to see something, you know, I don't even know because I've never seen it portrayed on daytime until, you know, the last couple of years on Days and on now GH. So I'm going to add one more thing to that. And I totally forgot. So Friday's episode, and I'm going to ask you, Michael, about this. The Friday's episode, we had the stars of Baby Daddy from ABC Family come on. And so Brad's in the locker room. And I had no idea how short he was until
yes.
this hot mother frigger comes into the gym, and he's built like a brick shit house. He's tall, he's got a hairy chest and built, and here's little Brad, like a pocket gay, right next to him. And it was just so cute, and it was cute, and he smacked his ass, and it was just cute. It was a cute little moment. But I come to find out he's the plastic surgeon for General Hospital, who we've never seen before, but he had a cameo. Then Chris Stella, who has been co-hosting on The View and also has her own show on ABC on Friday nights, She came in as the assistant assistant DA, talking to them about all that stuff that was going on with the bomb and where Carlos is and who got away with the car with Maxie, et cetera, et cetera. And then we also had this character who came on, and I was like, who the hell is this awesome bitch? She was like so much fun. I had to go Google her. I was like, who is this? Is she someone from One Life to Live? I was like, who is this? Where is she at? So who was she, Michael?
Who are you talking about? The Bensonhurst girl?
Yes.
Yes, so that's Melissa Peterman. If any of you have ever watched one of my favorite sitcoms of all time, Reba, she played Barbara Jean for 6 seasons from 2001 to 2007, I want to say. And I just loved her. I've loved her so much. And she and Reba are friends in real life. And she's gone on tour with her and done her stand-up as like the opening act. And so they're just, she's just good people. She's really funny. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, I haven't watched a lot of Baby Daddy. I think I've seen one episode. I'll be better because I'm just so happy Melissa Peterman's on TV. But I knew she was coming on because Kelly Monaco, who plays Sam, she guest starred on Baby Daddy, so it's kind of the taking turn. So I didn't know what she was going to do, who she would play. I was so thrilled to see her, that accent come out. I was so thrilled to see her kind of, she could have been Connie's best friend. I mean, like, you know, and it was just so nice to see that. And another example of Frank and Ron, you know, I don't want to say the joke, but when you're, you know, if you're in on the joke, you enjoy it even more. And if you're not, you still enjoy it. And just kind of like that scene with Franco and Kiki, you know, if you didn't know that they played father and daughter on the other show, you still enjoyed it, but we loved it even more. Same thing when she was at the table and she has her glass of wine and, you know, she says that Bensonhurst girls have to stick together. She's clearly talking about Olivia, but then she raises the glass and looks up and we knew that that was to Connie, you know, who had passed away. But if you didn't know that, you still thought it was a touching scene. So just all around good writing. And I really wish she would come back on. And since they're both ABC owned, it would be cool to have her pop in every now and then because Olivia needs a friend, and I miss a little bit of the Bensonhurst girls. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also nice, you know, we talked about this before, that there's not enough girlfriends on daytime.
Yes.
It seems like they're always after one another, or they're after each other's man, or, you know, we haven't really seen after each other. But, you know, it's just, it's nice to see someone have a girlfriend. And right now, Olivia needs a girlfriend because the young lady is pregnant, and I hope you knew that. You didn't know that, right, Michael?
Oh yeah, I know.
Okay,
she's pregnant.
Okay.
She's pregnant in real life. Yes, she's pregnant in real life and on the show. For now.
Oh, she is in real life. Oh my God, how old is she? How old is she?
I think she's only like 42. She and Maura.
Okay, she's
the same age. Yeah.
Okay.
Still doable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but, you know, her character seems older because her child is, what's his name?
Dante.
Yeah. Dante. So, and they look close in age, so it's so weird. It's just like on Days of Our Lives with Billy and, Lauren. No, that's her real name.
Lauren Coslow played Kate.
Kate, yes. Kate and mm-hmm. Billy are like 8 years or so apart in real life, but yet they're play daughter and mother. So, you know, so Olivia, you know, is the same way with Dante. They look so close in age, but yet they're father and child. So anyway, Kelly, what did you think about, I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. I got ADD all of a sudden. Oh, what did you think? Well, first off, what did you think about Lucas and Brad's little confession?
I thought that was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was watching it at a point when I was like, you know what, I'm glad somebody's freaking happy on Valentine's Day.
So, whatever,
it's all right. But it was sweet, and you know, like, you know that I'm in love with Julian, so anytime that he has any moment that, you know, like, makes him look like a real super awesome person instead of like super crazy gangster, like, I'm all for it. And so him having that, you know, having that conversation with what's his name, Lucas, just, I was just on another planet. I was just like, I'm in love with him, which is why he can never die and he can never leave the show. Just FYI, tell the writers he can't go anywhere. So,
all right,
but no, I loved it.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's been on us Young and Restless minds, and probably General Hospital minds as well, is when the hell is Billy Miller going to realize that he's Jason Morgan? Well, that's
hallelujah.
That has finally getting here. As we saw yesterday, he was told that he could get the chip removed, and then he was told that if he got the chip removed, he could die. I haven't watched today, so don't spoil anything. But I'm excited. I saw the promo. It looks like the one person that does know who he is, besides Helena, who is a fucking bitch, I'd like to strangle her little toothpick body, is Nicholas. So I'm anxious to see the reveal. So hopefully it's either this today or tomorrow or early next week, because I'm ready, because Sam needs to know, Carly needs to know, Liz needs to know. You know, I mean, there's so many people that need to know, and he needs to know. So what are your thoughts about how this has progressed, Michael, with the storyline?
I liked it a lot. I love Steve Burton, but the character of Jason was just starting to get old, and I don't want to say I was happy that he, you know, quote unquote, killed him off, because I don't wish death on him, on that character. And Monica's been through enough, losing every one of her children, but the way that they brought him back, and they didn't just say like, oh, I'm Jason and I'm back. You know, I like that it was drawn out. I love that they kind of had him have similar relationships with the other people that had been in Jason's life. And so it really got you to accept this new character, because, you know, you're coming on playing Jake, not Jason per se. So you're like, oh, I like Jake. I like this actor. And then it's going to turn out that it's Jason. And you're like, oh, well, you're not new. I already love you. So I thought that was very smart. And the way they did it. And I mean, let's be real. You have to suspend reality when you watch a soap sometimes. And the whole idea of a chip in the brain and I can control you. I mean, if I were to say this at work to my friends, they would laugh at me and think, I don't understand what you watch. But you believe it when it is well done and well acted. You believe it. And he's doing a great job. And so I'm nervous what's going to happen when he is Jason. You know, like, that's going to rock the boat. Like, I really like Jake and I like these relationships. And so I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I'm, you know, it's gonna change the whole canvas, because, you know, so much, he's been gone for two years or so now, a year and a half or so. So he's been gone for a while. So everybody's lives have moved on. You know, Sam's with Patrick, Liz is with no one. And, you know, Carly is now literally all up in Sunny, and stuff. So since you're a Billy Miller fan and you're obsessed with Billy, Kelly, what are your thoughts about the progression this week of that storyline?
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it's, you know, like, it's all starting to come out in the open, because, as you said, I'm obsessed with Billy Miller. I love him. And the fact that he's remembering, you know, he's remembering on his own who he is, instead of, like, you know, and of course, you know, oh, silly Helena, I can't. I mean,
I can't either.
She's, oh.
I love Helena. I love her. I want her to stay forever.
Seriously, Michael, I don't know that we can be friends. I'm just kidding. But
I know.
Because I will always love you. But she, I cannot stand. Like, I can't freaking stand her. And so, you know, and she's holding this over Nicholas's head, like, you know, you either go to jail for helping, you know, helping rig the mayor election, or, you know, you keep this secret and, you know, and don't, you know, and then eventually run ELQ and blah, blah, blah. Well, what is she going to do when he remembers on his own who he is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I hope she doesn't, you know, pin that on. Don't punish Nicholas. And since we're talking about Nicholas, he needs to get a new pair of pants, because those gray pants that he wears with every shirt, they look horrible. They make him look like the old man that I go to church with. Like,
oh,
hello,
my God.
Hello, stylist. People.
At least they're not pleated. They're not pleated.
Fix them. They're terrible, though. Tell me they're not terrible. As gay men, you know how to dress, and you know those pants are terrible. And it's the only pair of pants he wears. He wears it with everything. It's like, seriously, Nicholas, you're a millionaire. You live on your own island. Get a new pair of pants.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
Okay,
but that's how
so,
I feel about it. I'm in love with Miller, and I'm not in love with Nicholas Rosman. So there we
okay,
are.
Okay, well, I will be sure to tweet General Hospital, and I will tweet Tyler Christopher and say, per Kelly, at Kelly Beth, she needs you to remove those pants. Well, in both ways, remove them and then also replace them.
Exactly, exactly. Because as pitiful as his character is, sometimes he's smoking hot. So
yeah.
Sure, take your pants off, Nicholas.
Now, I'm a father. Many people may not know that, but I'm a father. My son is years old, and 19, and I want to scoop up and adopt Spencer. I want him for myself. I want Spencer. The way he talks, Nicholas, who plays Spencer, is such an amazing little actor. He is phenomenal. I look forward to when he's there. And yesterday, with the whole birthday party and the whole reveal, it was like watching like an adult storyline. They're all like, you know, Jocelyn's like, I'm in love with you. And then, what's the other boy's name? I went blank.
Cameron.
Cameron was like, why didn't you tell me? And it was just like this little, the cute little drama between these like 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds. I don't even know how old they're all supposed to be. But Spencer, the way he talks to great grandmother, to Helena, which I wish he really knew what she was like, so he would stab her with a fire poker. But he's so adorable. I love when he's on there, and I just adore him. He the way he talks. Of course, you know, he grew up he's a Cassadine, so he grew up in a very rich Prince world. So but it just cracks me. It still takes me back to when Heather Weber was in there with Carly in the shed, and the kid stumbled upon the shed, and she had to play nice because she was really getting ready to kill Carly, and she had to be all like grandmothery and try to be nice with those kids around. Do you remember that, Michael?
I do. Yes. Very fun.
I mean, it's just so much fun. I love Spencer. But anyway, the next thing I want to ask about before we end this, and I can get involved with a couple hot topics before we go, because I'm starving and it's late for everybody. So, and Blog Talk screwed us up tonight. So, is I wanted to ask about, what are your thoughts? Well, first off, Kelly, when you started watching, was Spinelli already on there, or was he gone off the canvas?
No, he was already gone.
Okay.
But today, I felt like I kind of, like even just watching for the past like couple of weeks, I kind of feel like I already know him, because I'm just like, he said, he's talking about how Ellie may not be, she may not be wrong. And I'm just like, oh, Spinelli, he's so sweet. I'm saying, if I had my choice between him and Nathan, that's no contest.
Well, there is no contest. But, now we learn, because he left the show, and then, Maxie left the show, and some other actors played Maxie. I mean, I'm so confused with Maxie and Spinelli. So is Spinelli, Brad Franderson, is he back, Michael, or is he just recurring?
He was dropped from contract to recurring status and then left the show. So I feel these are guest bits that he's back for. I don't search out news, and I kind of like, if you post it, I read it basically. So I learn
exactly.
From you. I'm assuming it's just a guest bit.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think? I mean, I already know what Kelly thinks, and I already know what I think, Nathan all the way, but there's history with Spinelli and Maxie, and Spinelli is the father of insert baby name here,
of Georgie.
And
Georgie,
thank you. And so what do you think's gonna, if he's coming back even on recurring role, would you, Michael, would you like to see Maxie go back with baby daddy, or would you like her to go stay with Nathan, or would you like to see Nathan be with somebody else on the show, Michael?
I feel that Spinelli, I don't want to say he has served his purpose. That sounds mean, because he's a great actor and he's a spunky, a quirky character. But the show is overcrowded, and I don't like the idea of cutting people out. So
he's already gone. And the idea of him and Maxie, I was never fully on board with. It was also during the couple years that I took off. But Spinelli was had feelings for Maxie's sister, Georgie. And mm-hmm. she decided, then she realized she loved him. And the night she went to tell him, she was going to meet him, at wherever. And that's the day that she got strangled by, the serial killer storyline that Jill Farren felt mm-hmm. to put through. I always thought it was a little, at first, disrespectful because, I love you and you're dead. I'm going to get with your sister. But I know there's a lot of fans of them. I like the pacing of the show in that, Nathan and Maxie, it took forever for them to get together. Whereas if he would have just, came on last month, of course we'd want her with Spinelli. Now we weren't attached to Nathan. But now we are. And I feel that Maxie is one of those actresses, Kirsten Storms, rather, who is, I want to say she's 30, 31 or so. She's, around that age. So she's no longer the younger actress. She is a leading actress on the show and has potential to be that. And I just feel that with Spinelli, it still seems like she's a younger actress. And when she's with Nathan, she seems leading actress. And I mean, she's got a future on the show. So I want her with, they got to have a little drama, of course. No one can be happy, but I want her with Nathan. And I want Spinelli to be happy, but I want him to go back to Ellie and visit every now and then.
That sounds like a good thing because we've got way too many people in there. That's why I can't even touch base on every storyline because we ran over so long. But speaking of Nathan, did you, Michael, see mm-hmm. Mr. Ryan Pavey as a co-host on The View Tuesday or Wednesday?
I just watched Rosie's last episode, I'm a week behind. So Hulu Plus, it's on my
tonight. Oh, my God.
Can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see it, Kelly, with Nathan on there? Or Ryan.
I meant to, but I didn't. I should have.
I'll send you a link to so you can watch the Hot Topics portion, which is just where he guest co-hosted. And that leads us into we only have time for two topics I want to talk about real quick. But that leads into 50 Shades of Grey. On there, he says that he actually auditioned for 50 Shades. Put up a picture, he put up a picture of yes, girl, that movie would have been a million times better with him as Christian Grey.
That would have made me go see it. No lying to you. I would have gone see that movie if he was in it.
Yeah. He's got a better body, Ryan does. But he says on there that they wanted someone that didn't have the greatest body and wasn't the most good-looking people. So, I mean, that's kind of compliment to Ryan because, mm-hmm. he has the body and the gorgeous look. So that probably would have been a little bit too much because Christian Grey is not that Christian Grey is, and you've seen the movie, Michael, as well as I have, but Christian Grey, Jamie Dornan is very handsome. He's got a great body. But I think, just the thought of Ryan Pavey playing him, AKA Nathan, would have just been a lot of hotness and excitement as well, but it was pretty hot. So, real quick, I'm just going to cover two topics before he goes, before my stomach falls out of my body. What did you think, Michael, of the 50 Shades of Grey?
Okay. First of all, I will say that the actor that I really wanted to play Christian Grey, and I knew it would never happen, but my dream actor was James Scott from Days of Our Lives. Every time I read reading the book, I kept thinking, oh, man, EJ, oh, I would love to see EJ be like this. Okay, that came out wrong, but you know what I mean. And then when they announced it was the guy from Sons of Anarchy, I was like, I know you played gay and were naked before, but I don't know. And then Jamie Dornan came on. I'm like, I don't know you. I think I'm intrigued. And so I liked him in the role. I think he did well. And I went in, I hated the book. I went in because I wanted to see how do you adapt that book to the screen with an R rating. And I was, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised, but I enjoyed it. I felt that obviously you don't get everything from the book in the movie, but I felt that was not a detriment. I felt that in the book, it's very much one-sided about him, and he's a lot harder, and I want to even say he rapes her in the book. I'm not totally sure, because I kind of blocked it. But the movie seemed to be more about what he wants a relationship to be and what she wants a relationship to be, and it was this push and pull back and forth, and I felt that that was lacking in the book. So I felt that the movie was better than the book. We saw her naked all over. I'm familiar with her body in and out, I guess. And you're never really going to see that much penis on the big screen. The closest we got was when he unzipped his jeans. You saw some pubic hair and you saw maybe a half inch of shaft. And at least it was something. At least it was something. Yeah. But I liked that.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I know. I mean, I wasn't even expecting, an inch of shaft in the movie. For listeners who haven't seen it, that doesn't mean that's all he's got. I'm sure he's got a lot more, but that's just all they showed.
Exactly.
Maybe the Blu-ray will have some deleted scenes and extended scenes and uncut. No pun intended.
Uncut.
I didn't read the book, but in comparison to the book, I was wondering, because I haven't talked to anybody, I was going to do a whole 50 Shades of Grey special, but nobody was chiming in on my tweets. You know, there's all these 50 Shades of Grey fans, and I wanted to, like, get a panel of people just to talk about the phenomenon, the movie, the book, et cetera, and the possibility of what the sequels are going to entail, et cetera. But anyway, nobody would do it. So I just got you. So, Kelly, just hang tight before I move on to the next topic. When you were reading it, does Dakota Johnson fit Anastasia's vision that you had in your head?
Oh, I think to a T. And it's funny because I didn't picture her when I read the book, and when they announced her in the role, I thought, I don't know about that. But yeah, oh, she is spot on. Someone who is pretty but not really, like, confident or sure of herself, and, you know, kind of can come off mousy, unaware that she's beautiful. And yeah, she's perfect for the role, I really felt.
Yeah. And I like that she was pretty, but not over the top gorgeous, you know, like, you know, right, supermodel. And I went and I was, you know, by myself, of course. I thought I was going to be the only guy in there. And I don't know about you, but the audience that I was with had a lot of couples, a lot of married couples of all ages. And the lady sitting on the left of me was, you know, by herself. So I felt at least I wasn't there by myself. I'm not a reader. I can't remember. I can't even read a tweet and I'll forget it 10 seconds later. So I can't even read a book, but I did download it from my iPad and I'll try to get through it just because I'm curious about how they're going to have you. Now, did you read the two sequels?
No, I have no desire to. And seeing the movie, I do want to know what happens next. So I don't know if I should just wait and see the movies or if I should download them and read them and then know. So I might read them. I might not.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, because I mean, I can read. I'm not, listeners, I'm not saying I can't read it. So I can. It's just I have ADD real bad. I have something called fibrofog, which affects my short term memory. So I can't remember, you know, things. So the last book that I've actually read and I had to really push myself was the Twilight series. And that was only because my inner 12-year-old vampire loving, werewolf loving self came out at age like 35. So I forced myself to read them all except for the last half of the final book. But this, what I'm thinking about is we've had Lord of the Rings trilogy, Star Wars trilogy, The Hobbit trilogy. We've never had a romantic trilogy. So I just can't imagine how they're going to stretch this out for, you know, 50 Shades Darker and 50 Shades, whatever the other
Freed.
One is. What is it?
50 Shades Freed, F-R-E-E-D.
Oh, Freed. Okay. So I just can't imagine how this is going on. So that's why I wanted people on, you know, the show to talk about it. But maybe I can get it another time. Maybe when the DVD comes out, I can get somebody to come on and talk about it. Someone who's read the books and compare it. But overall, 0 to 5, what would you give it? Or I mean, 0 to 10, 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I guess I would say, I feel 7. 7 sounds good. It wasn't amazing, you know, and there's a whole lot of, you know, if you read the articles, they're getting a whole lot of flack about what they're representing and how that's not how the BDSM community actually is. So there's misinformation and is it misogynistic and all of that. And so I do feel there's value in those conversations. But for what it was, for how it was adapted and how they improved it, I don't think it's going to win Oscars. I don't think the people in it are expecting Oscars. But yeah, I would go with a 7. Way better than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and because I didn't read it, I just all the hype that's been around it for the last couple of years since the book came out, I went because I just wanted to get the you know, my thoughts on it. And story-wise, I thought I enjoyed it. It wasn't too much, it wasn't too little. I didn't have anything to compare it to because there's never been anything like that in the current times we're in. You know, we had Basic Instinct in the 90s, which was very racy and stuff, but this was a little bit different because there's never been a $95 million box office hit that's about S&M.
Right.
So
right.
It was interesting, and I knew it was going to be big, but I didn't realize it was the biggest biggest Valentine's Day weekend opener of all time. And you know, it's over now. I mean, you know, it's over now. We have to wait a year. And I read the director wishes she didn't do it. So wishes they didn't do it. So I was interested in that. But some people, when I told them that I when I go to see a movie or something or watch a TV show, I always go to the hashtag just to see what other people are saying. And there are people slamming it, saying that it's all about domestic violence. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If you've either A, haven't read the book, or the book portrays it as domestic violence, but the movie is not about domestic violence. They're both willing partners. The only scene that I felt that was a little was when he was whipping her with that horse thing or whatever that thing was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little much, but she enjoyed it. He enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They were consenting adults. So there was no domestic violence. It wasn't like he was taking her and throwing her against the wall and that type of thing. So they need to lay off the whole domestic thing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't read the book. So in the book, you know, you said that, you know, he may have raped her in the book, you know, not raped, but kind of forced himself in her per se.
Yeah.
Not to joke, but did it come across that way in the book?
I feel like, I don't know. I it's been over a year since I read it. I almost want to reread it just to see, because that's the other danger in this. Like, if the book was all those things and they kind of cleaned it up for the movie, you're going to have a whole population of people who see the movie and not realize, like, kind of what I don't want to say what it's supposed to be, but because you can't have success with one without success with the other. So if the movie's amazing,
exactly,
even more people are going to go read the book. So I want to reread it just to be sure, because I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I do feel that there was maybe less consent in the books. I feel what was portrayed on screen was consensual, but maybe not so much in the book.
Well, I can always come to Michael for someone who reads the book, because you're my library now, because
the book. And you know it's based on Twilight fan fiction. I feel you probably knew that. Did you know that?
I heard something about that it was based on Twilight fan fiction, but who knew? Now it's another.
You can totally see Bella in this. I don't see Edward so much, but I could totally see, like, Bella when she trips going into the office. I'm like, Bella, stop being clumsy. You're going to be a vampire soon. But
exactly. Kelly, what are your, I mean, I know you haven't seen the movie. I don't know if you have any desire, but what are your thoughts on just the phenomenon itself?
excuse me. It is, I don't know. It blows my mind, because it's like, you know, that's all anybody could talk about. And now the premiere's over and nobody's talking about it anymore. So it's just kind of like, you know, hello, where'd it go? Like, it was here, and that's all I heard about, and blah, 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 and now it's gone, and nobody's talking, and it's just like, so, I mean, obviously, they benefited from, you know, from the hype and all that stuff, because it, you know, it made all that money, and, you know, whatever, all the stats and all that, whatever, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't see anything about it on TV anymore. I don't. The only thing I see about it on Facebook anymore is, you know, kind of what you said, comparing it to the, you know, like, you know, girls, you should not expect this in a relationship stuff, you know, like, whatever.
Now, do you have any desire to see it when it comes out on DVD?
I don't know. 'Cause, like, I read probably about 3 chapters of the first book, and I didn't finish it, but I mean, I might, if I am bored one day and don't have anything else to do and it's out and I could get a copy of it, I might watch it. I don't know.
Well, I'm anxious for the Blu-ray to come out, because
like,
there'll be a lot of extras.
But it's like, now that everybody's, you know, now that everybody's talking about it, it's like, you know, before it's kind of like, why all this hype? And then people start talking, you know, about like stuff from the movie. And it's just like, you know, maybe that would be somewhat interesting. It's going to be, I feel like it's going to be one of those things, like, I won't go see it in public because I don't want everybody to know I watched it. But I may get it one afternoon from the Red Box.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who follow me at In Bed With Red, which is really my pop culture and hot topics and LGBT links Twitter, it's my main Twitter, but I do mostly, you know, I share links. Sometimes I interject my own thoughts and stuff in between, but I post a lot of links there. And today, I don't know if either one of you caught it or any listeners caught it, but there was, and I knew this was going to happen, but I had no idea if they would put it on the news, but a lady was caught masturbating during the movie. Did you read about that?
No, but I did hear some, we talked about this at work last week, like, oh, who's going to see it? And one of my coworkers said she had read an article about how some theater in some city was taking precautions and were going to line all of the seats because they were fabric seats and, you know, fabric and fluids. So I'm not surprised, but I mean, come on. It was so packed. They were sold out. The tickets we had, it was so packed. We didn't want to sit in the very first row. So we exchanged them for the next show, waited in line. I mean, there was no space around anybody. So if you were getting down to business, like, you wanted to be seen. And I mean, someone could have easily stopped that right away. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't read the article.
I've ever heard. I'm sorry. That is absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Like, you know what? If you want to go watch it, go for it. That's your prerogative. But if you want to do that while you watch it, that's when you rent the Red Box edition and you watch it at home. That is disgusting. And that's not just because I'm a, like, no sex having prude. It's because that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's reserved for your home.
That's a private thing,
and that is this. I'm not saying that the act itself is disgusting, because that, again, is your own prerogative. But do it in public where everybody can see you. That's nasty. Don't do that in public.
Okay. Calm down before you have your own orgasm. Okay. Calm down. But for the sake of the ladies, you know, with the anatomy, a woman can do that. I don't know how she was doing it, but a woman can do that without being seen. So, but for us, we have to take our stuff out and do stuff. So we would be more visually seen if this was like two guys up there doing that for us gays, you know, or the opposite end of, well, maybe some guys were turned on about that. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, we have to take our stuff out. So, you know, maybe she was just, you know, rubbing her carpet together and making a burn. I don't have no idea. I don't really care. I just thought I'd share that headline. So speaking of slapping your lips together. There's a new show that premiered last week called The Slap on NBC. It's on tonight if you want to watch the second episode, and it's called The Slap. Michael, have you heard of this show? And did you watch the first episode?
So here's the thing. No, I haven't. But I've been seeing it all over social media, but I've not seen like what it is. They just kept saying the show, The Slap. And honestly, when I hear the term The Slap, I think back to Days of Our Lives theme from the 90s when Carrie slapped Sammy. It was so fantastic. And I know that's not what the show is. But so I had to look it up, and I know it's based on an Australian miniseries. And it's not a series. It's a miniseries, like 6 or 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm behind. I don't know if things are going to be repeated. I don't know if it's on Hulu Plus, but I feel better that it's a miniseries because I could easily catch up on that. I can't commit to a new
show. It is on Hulu. I saw it on Hulu yesterday, but I streamed it. It's only been on once, which was last week.
Okay.
Kelly, did you see it or hear about it?
No, I didn't see it. But I have some Twitter friends that are like some of the funniest people that I've ever, you know, been in quote unquote contact with. And I mean, like, I followed his commentary of it, and he said it was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the idea of slapping a child makes my blood boil. Mm-hmm. But I just heard that, you know, like, it's from what I heard, you know, like, it jumped from storyline to storyline and didn't really, there wasn't any, like, continuity maybe, and it didn't, like, flow very well, but that's just what I heard. But if we're just talking about the general topic of, you know, slapping your child, you know, I was raised in the 80s. My grandmother made me get switches off the tree so I could get my spanking, you know. My dad used a belt. I wasn't abused. I was disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference in discipline and abuse. And from the clips that I saw on TV, when you, like, just backhand a kid across the face, that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't watch it, because I knew that I would be furious before it was all over. Because that's just, I mean, you just don't do it. I have, you know, my entire education is based around, like, got my undergrad in social work and my master's in special ed. So, you know, I hear somebody hurt a kid and I want to, you know, hurt somebody else. Like, that person deserves to be punished. So I don't know where the show's going. I don't know what it, you know, like what the ultimate storyline is, but it's not cool to talk again.
Well, yeah. Well, just to summarize before we go, because we only have, oh gosh, hold on a minute. I got to extend this or we're going to get cut off again. Oh gosh. Okay. Oh no, it says we have 4 minutes left. Okay, good. So I'll make it quick. But it just started last week and it all revolves around this dysfunctional, well, this family. We're all dysfunctional, I guess. We all have dysfunctional families, but you know, there's many similar, I mean, there's storylines going along with this one storyline, and they're just at a barbecue, and there's all these people, it's a family get together, friends get together, and there's each family has its own little drama. But then Zachary Quinto, who many of you know from Heroes and Star Trek, he sees this little boy, and let me tell you, that little boy, you would, when you see it, you will want to go into the backyard like he did, and you'll want to strangle, beat, slap, whatever you want to do. You'll want to think about it, but you shouldn't do it. But he is a little brat. And so Zachary Quinto's, the little boy has a bat, and he's swinging the bat around and almost hit Zachary Quinto's kid. I don't know the character's name. It's just Zachary Quinto's the actor. And then he races out there. He grabs the boy, shakes him, and then goes, whoosh! And it's not his kid. It's his friend's kid. So it's an eight part miniseries, but the trailer kind of like soap opera drama within the whole, you know, there's lawsuits and drama. So it looks interesting, but my question was, and you kind of answered it, Kelly, was, you know, if you had a child and someone slapped your child, how would you handle it, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, we were, my mom spanked us, you know, but rarely, and it didn't hurt, and but my dad, you know, you'd think, like, growing up in the 80s, like, your dad is the one, but my dad never hit us or spanked us, and he was always the one who would, like, yell really loud, and then go time out, and then we'd have a serious discussion about your consequences of your actions. And I say that to people now, and they laugh, and, like, they worked. I'm like, well, I don't get in trouble. I must have done something. So it was never really around us, so I'm not... I guess I don't think anyone's for it, but I mean, I don't know. I just feel we have lost a little bit in our community where you are allowed to discipline each other's children. You know, it does take a village, and you know, what if you have your kids' friends over at your house or your cousins and nieces and nephews? I mean, there has to be some type of way to keep everyone in check. But I think that's among the parents to decide and to discuss first before all that stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Kelly, you're a Spitfire. If you had a child and somebody hit your child, what would you do?
I might possibly lose my mind. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, first off, I would hope that, you know, like, let's just say a quick prayer that my ovaries don't dry up before I end up getting married and having children. But, you know, if I was married now and I had kids, I would hope that I would, you know, discipline them well enough to maybe not kick an adult in the shin, like I kind of saw in that. You know, I don't feel like it's my place to discipline somebody else's child in a physical way. I don't spank my nephews. I don't spank my niece. But if I feel like they've done something that deserves that, you know, my first instinct is go talk to your daddy because he is going to give you a spanking. Because, you know, my brother and I were raised the same way. So, you know, we have the same, and, you know, and then they go and they get their spankings, and then, you know, they come back and I'm sorry that I kicked you, or I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, or whatever. So, but my head would explode. If somebody felt like they had, you know, other than my husband, if somebody felt like they had, like, that they were able to do that to my kid, like, you know, you've got yourself confused with somebody else, because, you know, there's probably not going to be many people that I'm going to be like, you know what, if he does anything wrong, you know, give him a swat. No, that's my job as a parent. it's my job as a parent to discipline my kids. So if somebody did that, I would give my kids a lesson in what happens when mommy goes to jail, because I would more than likely punch somebody in the face.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we pretty much summed that up. But anyway, it is on tonight. I check it out, Michael, on Hulu. Last week's and then tonight's will be uploaded tomorrow. Check it out, and we'll talk about it next week to see what you think about it. I mean, I'm anxious to see what happens tonight because it ended last week with the slap. So I'm anxious to see how it all progresses. But it looks good. And also, I'll send you the link for the trailer, a full 2-minute trailer with all the drama that happens. There's just more than just a slap going on. So I think it's gonna be fun, and it's got a lot of people talking, because if you go to the hashtag, there's a lot of people that are talking about it. And when you get caught up on The View, they talk about it on either Monday or Tuesday's episode. So real quick before we go, what did you think about Rosie's last day?
Oh, I forgot that it was happening, because I know they're on 5 days a week, and I know that the Friday episode is taped, so I kind of thought we would have a taped finale. So I was caught off guard, and you know, there was very little fanfare. You know, like, she had her moment at the end. I know that's what she wanted. She didn't want to really talk about it, but I was hoping for some confetti or a good best wishes cake or something like that, but it didn't seem to be her style. So I hope everything works out. I do, and I'd love to have her back. I just think the chemistry with these four is just so good. I might be alone, but I miss her already. So
yeah, hopefully. Well, I do too. Now, did you happen to get a chance to see her special on HBO?
No, I don't have HBO or HBO Go or any of that. So I do want to see it at
some
point.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry, I'll hook you up.
Okay, I love you.
I love you too. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Our show was exactly way too longer than I wanted to be, but these guys love to stick around and talk, but we really will try to get our show back on track. But this week was all messed up because of the technology issue at the beginning, then our show was cut off in the middle, and I had to hurry up and create a fake show on my other account. I mean, this is dramatic. So thank you for listening. If you tuned into both shows, thank you so much. And follow the show at TalkSoap. You can also follow Kelly at KellyBeth with an I. You can follow Michael at MPGRASSO. So there's an ass in the middle, of course. And then you can follow my, like I said earlier, you can follow my personal Twitter account at InBedWithRed. And if you want to get in bed with Red, just DM me. And then you can also follow my other shows at On Air with Doug and at Men Who Gossip. Those are other shows, and they're different stuff. So, Kelly, thank you so much for being here. You can us two were your post Valentine dates tonight.
Right now, other than my brother and my nephews, you all are my favorite men in my life. So thanks for the love.
We love you.
We love you too. But we will be back next week. Excuse me. We will be back next week with a whole brand new episode. And until then, we will talk to you later. And I don't have an outro for this, so I'll just play this outro. So good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. Be sure to see what's coming up next at www.onairwithdouglas.com. With over 240 shows in the archive, take a look around and listen to all the great guests you missed. Follow the show on Twitter at On Air with Doug. Until next time, have a great night.